Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. Caroline Joyner is back with us, ladies and gentlemen. Caroline is with the U.S. Chamber, and she is the Executive Director of the Anti-Counterfeiting and Piracy Initiative at the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. That's the group that talks about this intellectual property thing that you and I have been talking about, that I've been talking with you about. For how many years now have I been encouraging you? How many times, whenever I speak to groups around the country, every speech I make, there's something in there about intellectual property and how to leverage it, why we should protect it, how we should think of it as the valuable assets that they are. And Caroline Joyner knows all about that. That's how she makes her living, is reminding people like you and me and working on policies that help you and me protect our intellectual property. And she's our good friend, Caroline Joyner. Welcome back to the show.
Good morning. Thanks. Glad to be here.
It's good to have you back. About a week ago, which I'm sorry we missed getting you on that day. You probably were covered up already, but we had an International Intellectual Property Day, right?
That's correct. It was World IP Day, where we're celebrating the value of intellectual property to our economy and the countries that make human progress around the world.
You know, Caroline, sometimes I think that maybe that was a party of one, the United States.
It feels like that sometimes, but you'd be surprised.
I don't think the Chinese celebrated that much, did they?
They probably not as much as we
would
like.
Did they show up at the party on the 26th?
They did not. They did not, unfortunately. And the Chinese continue to have rampant counterfeiting and piracy. The numbers coming out of customs last year said that about 85% of what was stopped at our borders, it was counterfeit, was from China. So we saw
80% of the counterfeit products were from China.
Are they even
making it? I mean, is the leadership in China even acting like they're doing anything? Are they even making an attempt to act like they're horrified at this or anything?
Well, we are seeing them increasingly starting to make some more public actions on it. I think we have a real opportunity with the Olympics coming up in August, where the world is going to be focusing on Beijing, and you know, hopefully some of the changes they're making there to get the counterfeits off the streets while the tourists are going to be flooding the city, well, something that will stick. We're going to make every effort we can to, while the world is watching them, to see if we can push for some real meaningful enforcement of intellectual property rights.
Well, one of my favorite stories is one of the major golf club companies. I was told this by one of their people. One of the major golf club companies found some golf clubs, and they thought they might be counterfeit. But you know what they had to do to find out if they were? They had to cut them in half. They couldn't tell by looking at them and by using them. They had to cut them in half and look inside to see how they were made, to see that they were counterfeit. Now, how about that?
The counterfeiters are getting more and more sophisticated, and we're seeing that across the board, where our companies, whether it's golf clubs or batteries or even pharmaceuticals, counterfeits are so good that they have a hard time telling until they get them in the labs to test them. And in some cases, labeling actually looks better on the counterfeit products because they're not making the environmental measures to use recycled materials to make the labels, so the labels actually sometimes look better.
Yeah, a little sharper. Well, and you know, somebody might say, well, you know, if it's the same stuff and it's cheaper, what do I care? Well, maybe the quality process of making that to make it a wholesome product, especially if it's something you're ingesting, you know, that's what you have to watch out for.
Well, these counterfeit products, you know, never undergo the rigorous safety requirements that go into making a product here in the U.S. So you never know what quality you're going to get. I mean, we've seen brake pads that are made of sawdust. We've seen batteries that have mercury in them. We've seen counterfeit pharmaceuticals that had highway paint in them to give them the colors they need. And the quality of these products is always subject to Right. It's in addition to the fact that this can be very dangerous and defective, we're talking about a massive impact on our economy. You know, this is $250 billion a year problem. We've seen almost a million jobs lost. Mm-hmm. Intellectual property really it represents almost half of our GDP, more than 60% of our exports, and the counterfeiters and the pirates are attacking it. And I don't think people are realizing the broad impact of this problem.
But it's not just China, is it?
It's not just China. It's, you know, we've seen countries, India, Brazil, Korea.
What are some examples of how it's hurting small business owners?
Small business owners are particularly a threat here because they don't have the resources to go fight this. I mean, we've seen a company, let me give you one example, we may have talked about it before. Easton Machine Company is a fourth-generation family-owned company based in Buffalo, New York. They make a machine-cutting tool used in the apparel industry. And they were competing and succeeding globally and made a pretty good market share in China. And then suddenly their sales started drying up in China, and they did a little investigation trying to figure out why. And what they realized is that they were competing against their own product. A Chinese counterfeiter had stolen their product, talking model numbers, colors, everything, and they were using the name Westman. And as a result, the results were devastating for Eastman.
Right.
They ended up laying off 100 people. The biggest challenge for them is they didn't have the resources, millions of dollars it would cost, to go in and fight this in the Chinese courts. Because, you know, as you can well imagine, it's not an easy lift to get a prosecution in the Chinese courts. It's a resource.
Oh, yeah, well, you can forget about it, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Well, you know, here's the thing. The thing that bothers me, Caroline, is I'm encouraging small business owners to get involved in exporting. And on the other hand, you know, I don't have a good answer for them when they tell me, okay, Jim, fine, but what if I export and they steal my stuff? They buy one load from me and then they steal my technology and they steal my stuff. I mean, how do I answer that, Caroline?
Well, it's definitely not a reason for not doing business. I mean, there's too many opportunities in the export market to be afraid of it. And there are things businesses can do to protect themselves.
Yeah.
Like you mentioned earlier in the show, it's making sure the products are protected. What a lot of small businesses don't realize is that
Are international patents worth the time and the investment?
They are. They are, but you have to pair that with vigilance. You need to have the tightest supply chain possible. We actually have a resource on our website.
And partners that you can trust, right?
Absolutely, partners that you can trust.
Caroline, give us your website, please.
It's www.truecost.com.
TrueCost.org.
Yes.
USChamber.com also, by the way. Hey, Caroline, thank you for being here. Good job today.
Thank you.
We'll see you next time. Caroline Joyner, ladies and gentlemen. She'll be back. I will be too. On the other side of these messages, I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me. Couldn't get away too
soon. I can't imagine. Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.